In a logo, clouds swirl in a blue sky. The letters WB appear in a golden shield. Warner Home Video. In another logo, the letters WB are inscribed in a gold shield set against puffy clouds. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Now, in a dusky amber sky, golden clouds glint over a shadowed prairie. A tree stands alone on a grassy hilltop. Beneath the naked branches, a wiry man, silhouetted by the setting sun, swings a pickaxe into the ground. Titles appear. Warner Brothers presents a Malpasso production, Unforgiven. Under the tree, the wiry man picks up a shovel and digs a grave. Not far from him, a bare clothesline stretches to a dark, rustic cabin. Words appear. She was a comely young woman, and not without prospects. Therefore, it was heartbreaking to her mother that she would enter into a marriage with William Money, a known thief and murderer, a man of notoriously vicious and intemperate disposition. When she died, it was not at his hands, as her mother might have expected, but of smallpox. That was 1878. Under a leaden sky, a small town sits in a rolling brown valley at the foot of a snow-capped mountain range. Words appear, Big Whiskey, Wyoming, 1880. At night, a pair of saddled horses stand in the rain outside Greeley's Saloon. On the porch, a swaying lamp glistens on a painted sign, Billiards Upstairs. Through a window shade, we see the silhouettes of a man and woman sharing a drink. Our view moves up a rain-splattered staircase to the second floor. Inside a lamp-lit room, a young man in long underwear thrusts into a red-haired woman. He stops.
Derek! Come around to that!
The couple dashes to another room. Greasy John has a knife.
Go on, hold her! Hold her down! Hold her, I'll cut her tits off!
Davy grips a petite blonde woman while the greasy John slashes her cheeks. The John beats off Davy and the redhead, then grabs the blonde's bleeding face.
Parrot, you think it's funny?
He slices her pretty nose and cheeks. Blood streams from the long gashes. Sweat glistens on the John's whiskered face as he throws Davy off his back, then freezes. A skinny, hollow-cheeked man digs a gun into the John's greasy hair.
Get off her, cowboy.
Outside, in the pouring rain, two men wearing long dusters and cowboy hats cross the dark, muddy street.
He wouldn't let you settle it, huh?
Well, you know how skinny is. He says he's gonna shoot him. I said, Skinny, you can't do that. And he says, well, let's get little Bill in here and settle this thing. And I says, little Bill's sleeping. He says, you don't care. Another 5 minutes, he says, you can shoot them boys.
Dripping wet, they stride into Greeley's. Little Bill, tall and barrel-chested, leads his black-bearded deputy to a room where the red-haired woman tends to the victim's slashes. Red water fills a wash basin.
She's gonna die?
She's gonna live. She didn't steal nothing. She didn't even touch his poke. All she done when she seen he had a teensy little pecker is give a giggle, that's all. She didn't know no better.
The sheriff gazes stoically.
Gonna hang him, Little Bill.
Two young women in ruffled cotton underclothes grimly watch Little Bill and his black-bearded deputy leave. The red-haired woman and Skinny follow the two men downstairs into Greeley's Saloon. On the floor, young Davy and the greasy, bare-chested John are tied back to back.
Back.
Step over to the office and get the bullwhip.
Clyde, the deputy, leaves.
A whipping? That's all they get after what they've done?
The red-haired woman glares.
Whipping ain't no little thing, Alice.
But what they've done, they can talk about more than...
Shut up! Little Bill, whipping ain't gonna settle this.
No.
It's either the lawful contract between me and Delilah Fitzgerald to cut more.
Bill glances at the type page.
I brought her clear from Boston, paid her expenses and all. And I got a contract that represents an investment of capital.
Property.
Damaged property. Like if I was to hamstring one of their cow ponies.
But you figure nobody want to fuck her now, right?
A thin deputy smirks.
Hell no. Leastways won't pay to do it. And maybe she can clean up the place or something, but nobody's gonna pay good money for a cut-up whore.
Alice sags as she releases a heavy breath.
You boys off the bar tea. You got your own string of ponies?
Yeah, I got four.
Bill kicks the slasher.
Six.
Guess you just soon not have a trial, no fuss, huh?
No, sir.
All right. You did the cutting. Come the thaw, you bring in five ponies and you give them over to Skinny here.
Five.
And you bring in two. You give them over, you hear?
Yes, sir.
Clyde returns.
It's a bull whip, Bill.
Bill unrolls a 10-foot whip.
Maybe we don't need this whip now. Let me tell you, come the spring, Skinny don't have those ponies. I'm gonna come looking for you.
You ain't even gonna whip them?
Bill grins.
Well, I find them instead, Alice.
For what they done, Skinny, get some ponies and that's it? That ain't fair, little Bill. That ain't fair.
He grips her arm and yanks her aside. Rigid in his firm grasp, she stares up at his tanned, rugged features.
Have you seen enough blood for one night?
Her wide blue eyes flicker.
Hell, Alice. It ain't like they was tramps or loafers or bad men. You know, they were just hardworking boys that was foolish. If they was given over to wickedness in a regular way, I'd understand.
Of course.
Alice! Delilah.
Bill stares and throws her a wink.
Go ahead.
Meeting his smile with a piercing gaze, she tugs her arm from his grip, then heads upstairs. In the morning, the sun glints on the snowy ridge over Big Whiskey. Upstairs at Greeley's, Alice and four women in nightgowns gather around Delilah. Sitting on the bed, a girlish brunette dabs gauze on her friend's seeping wounds.
I got $85.
I don't know. If Delilah doesn't care one way or the other, what are we all getting so riled up about?
Just because we let them smelly fools ride us like horses don't mean we gotta let them brand us like horses. Maybe we ain't nothing but whores, but we, by God, we ain't horses.
I got $112. That's everything.
How about you, Faith?
A brown-eyed woman scratches her ear.
200.
Alice gapes.
$240.
Jesus, Faith, what you been doing? You been giving Skinny something special?
Delilah smiles and winces.
She laughs.
Alice takes Delilah's hand.
With what Kate got, and Silky got some, and then mine, and Lil Sue.
It ain't enough.
Silky, young and willowy, frowns.
Not yet, maybe.
Alice looks at each woman with a firm, resolute gaze. Delilah stares back through heavy-lidded eyes. Blood-soaked gauze sticks to her face. On the prairie, a lone cabin stands shadow black against a yellow-pink sky. Later, a little girl runs over to a corral where her wiry, gray-haired father wrangles a few fat pigs out of a corner. As he shuffles clumsily through the mud, his daughter climbs up the split-rail fence to watch. His twiggy 12-year-old son tries to keep a few more pigs in an adjoining pen. Trying to budge two hogs stubbornly wallowing in the slop, the old farmer falls down.
You don't look like no rootin', tootin', son of a bitch and cold-blooded assassin.
The farmer stands to see a boyish, squinty-eyed rider on a chestnut horse.
Say what? My guess is you're calling yourself Mr. William Money.
You have me confused with someone else, mister.
Same one who shot Charlie Pepper up in Lake County?
Pa! Hey, Pa!
Yeah, what's up, son?
Two more hogs got the fever.
You shot Charlie Pepper, didn't you? You're the one who killed William Harvey and robbed that train over Missouri.
Now, hold on, mister. Son, you get those hogs separated there. Penny, why don't you help your brother out?
That one's sick, too.
Yeah.
Will turns his craggy, sunburnt face to the rider.
We'll talk inside.
Later, in the rustic cabin, Will wears suspenders over his muddy shirt and pours a tin cup of coffee.
So you're Pete Sothow's nephew, huh? I thought maybe you was someone come to kill me for something I'd done in the old days.
He hands him a cup of coffee.
I could have. Easy.
I guess maybe so.
Like I was saying, you don't look no meaner than hell, cold-blooded damn killer.
Maybe I ain't.
Yeah, well, Uncle Pete says you was the meanest goddamn son of a bitch alive. And if I ever wanted a partner for a killing, you were the worst one.
Will paces the small kitchen.
Meaning the best. My count is yours. You're as cold as the snow, and you don't have no weak nerve nor fear.
Pete said that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I'm a damn killer myself, except I ain't killed as many as you because of my youth. Schofield Kid is what they call me.
Why? You from Schofield?
Nah. It's on account of my Schofield model Smith & Wesson pistol.
He shows Will a long-barreled revolver.
How about it, Will?
How about what?
How about being my partner? I'm heading up north, in through Nebraska, up to Wyoming. Gonna kill a couple of no-good cowboys.
For what?
For cutting up a lady. They cut up her face. Cut her eyes out. They cut her ears off. Hell, they even cut her teeth.
Will's leathery face wrinkles in a frown.
Jesus.
$1,000 reward, Will. $500 apiece.
Will raises an eyebrow.
Paul? I can't move those damn pigs.
Watch your cussing now, will you? Do the best you can with it and go to the pump and get yourself cleaned up. Come on.
His kids leave. As Will stares at the floor, his shoulders droop.
I ain't like that anymore, kid. This whiskey done much as anything else. I ain't had a drop in over 10 years. My wife, she cured me of that. Cured me of drink and wickedness.
Well, you don't look so prosperous.
Will sips his coffee.
Hell, you could buy her a new dress with your half. We could kill them, too. You could buy your wife one of them fancy...
She's passed on.
What?
Been going near 3 years now.
Oh.
Later, sitting on his horse, the kid stares down at the monies.
Don't tell no one else about the reward and all. Don't need no other gunman trying to collect.
We don't see no one out here.
Yeah. Well, if you used to change your mind, might be you could catch me. I'll be riding due west the western trail, heading north into Wyoming.
The kid reins his horse around to the rolling green prairie, and Will turns to his children.
Come on, let's separate those hogs.
Frowning, the kids follow him. In the corral, Will dives for a hog, catches its leg, then loses his grip. Face down in the slop, he rests for a moment, then gets to his feet, his face and neck caked in mud. On a distant rise, he sees the kid as just a tiny dot against the vast blue sky. Will takes a deep breath and claps the dirt off of his hands.
Pa? Two of them others. I think they got the fever.
He nods, then turns and leans on the split rail fence, his hands brown with mud. Squinting at the horizon, he watches the kid ride off. Muscles bulge on Will's lean forehead, while a steady breeze ruffles his short, thinning gray hair. Will draws a heavy breath and drops his head. Now the greasy John and Davy ride into Big Whiskey, leading a string of horses. They pass Faith and Kate on the porch of a dusty two-story house. In the yard, Alice and Delilah hang out clothes to dry. Purple scars line Delilah's somber face as she watches her attacker pass. Alice, her red hair pulled on top of her head in a loose bun, lays a comforting hand on Delilah's shoulder. The two cowboys meet Skinny at a forge. With his hands sunk in his pockets, the lanky saloon keeper grins.
Took you boys a while. A couple more days and I was gonna call on the sheriff. How about that?
river was all swollen up. We couldn't cross it.
I bet. Sleepy? Get them horses on in the livery. Neil, take that one over around the back. Yeah. Come on.
Skinny smiles at a chestnut-colored mare that Davy holds on a lead.
Get on.
Oh, now, here's the beauty.
You got two of mine. This here one ain't yours.
Oh, we gonna see about that.
Alice, Sue, Silky, and Faith throw dung at John and Davy. Their horses recoil.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Get
off.
This here pony. I brung for the lady, the one my partner cut.
Outside Greeley's, Delilah stands beside Kate, her arms folded over her simple beige dress. Glassy-eyed, they watch Davy dismount and stroke the sleek chestnut mare.
She's the best of the lot.
The women stare fixedly at the young man.
Better than the ones I gave him.
Skinny's scruffy cheek twitches as he shifts his weight.
She can sell her or do what she wants.
Delilah's heavy eyes shift and Alice's face twists.
A pony? She ain't got no face left. You're gonna give her a goddamn mangy pony?
She ain't mangy, ma'am.
Get out of here!
Delilah solemnly watches Alice and the others hurl dung at Davy. He climbs back on his horse. With the mare in tow, Davy escapes from the flying dung. Alice and Kate glare after him, their rigid faces flush. Beside them, little Sue blinks into the bright sun, while Silky wears a tight frown. Delilah's wide blue eyes glance from Davy to her friends. As she heads back to Greeley's, a white ribbon holds her braided blonde hair off her neck. Now, on the Money Farm. In a dim room, Will takes a pewter-framed photo out of a box, studies the picture of a pretty woman in her 20s, then sets the photo down and picks up a revolver. Outside, he takes aim at a tin canister 20 feet away on a stump. He misses. Will clenches his lips. Penny and her brother watch their father furrow his brow and take aim again. Smoke swirls around the still canister on the stump. Clenching his teeth, Will looks down at his revolver, then strides past his kids into the house. Penny looks up at her brother.
Did Pa used to kill folks?
Will marches out of the cabin with a double-barrel shotgun. 20 feet away from the stump, he plants his feet, narrows his eyes, and takes aim at the canister. Will glares at the bare stump. Wide-eyed, his son licks his lips, then glances down at Penny. Later, in his room, Will shaves with a straight razor, then gazes out the window at the lone, bare tree on the hilltop. Later, beneath the naked, swaying branches, he sits on a rock at the foot of his wife's grave. Wearing a maroon shirt buttoned to the collar and black dungarees, he lays a bouquet of yellow and purple wildflowers beneath the carved wooden headstone. It reads, Claudia Feathers Money, born March 11, 1849, died August 6, 1878, age 29 years. Later in the doorway of the cabin, he crouches by his daughter and pats her shoulder. His son holds the reins of a saddled, aging gray horse.
Today I could tell your ma liked those flowers I gave her.
He kisses her.
He ain't hardly a saddled horse no more, Pa. He ain't used to the field.
Well, you take care of your sister now, son. And you kill a few chickens if you have to, and keep those hogs that got the fever separate. If you have any problem, you go see Sally Two Trees at Ned Logan's.
Will grabs the reins and the saddle horn in his left hand, then holds the back of the saddle and his hat in his right hand. The horse steps away from him, then minces in a tight circle. Will spins with it, trying to get his foot in the stirrup. His kids look on. As their father stiffly lifts his leg, the horse jerks away and Will tumbles backward. Slowly, he clambers to his feet and dusts off his pants.
Ain't hardly been in the saddle myself in a while.
Dry grass clings to his wool jacket as he picks up his hat.
This old horse is getting even with me for the sins of my youth.
in my youth before I met your dear departed Ma. I used to be weak and given to mistreating animals.
He tries to mount again and the horse pivots away.
This horse, them old hogs over there.
Will heaves himself into the saddle.
Oh, getting even with me for the cruelty that I inflicted. I used to be able to cuss and whip a horse like this, but your Ma, rest her soul, showed me the error of my ways. I'll be back in a couple weeks. You remember how the spirit of your dear departed Ma watches over you.
Short of breath, he nods to his kids, then dons a brown cowboy hat and rides off. Penny and her brother sullenly watch him trot past the clabbered outhouse into the wide-open prairie. Nighttime in Big Whiskey. Upstairs at Greeley's, Skinny twists Alice's arm behind her back.
Where'd you get that money?
We ain't got any money.
You told them cowboys you had.
He was lying.
She breaks free.
Lying? What are you going to do when somebody comes to collect? Huh? You going to hump them?
You going to hump them 1,000 times?
The other women stand in the doorway.
The kind of people from after that 1,000 won't tolerate you not having it.
Staring into his beady eyes, Alice breathes heavily.
You won't just cut up your face a little.
On the bed, Silky sits motionless in a tight-waisted corset.
You stupid bitches. You stupid bitches.
Skinny stalks out of the room, and Delilah bows her scarred face. Later, Skinny visits Little Bill's unfinished house on the dry, flat bank of a river. The sheriff works on the roof.
Shit! Damn! Damn it! Jesus!
Bill shakes out his thumb.
Hit your finger, huh?
Hello, Skinny. Damn, you snuck up on me. What do you think of her?
Well, I heard you done the roof yourself.
Roof? Jesus, Skinny, I did practically the whole damn thing myself. Well, the Roberts boy, he carried some wood for me, but that's all.
What is all that wood?
Well, it's for my porch. Yeah, I'm building a porch here so I can sit up in the evening and smoke my pipe, drink coffee, and watch the sunset. Well, came all the way out here just to take a look at her, huh?
Oh, them whores.
Oh, yeah.
Them whores have been humping and humping. All them cowboys have been coming in town the last 2 weeks.
Eh, shit, Skinny. You know, we got our railroad barons, we got cattle barons. You're going to be the first billiard baron.
Yeah, well, they've been humping them and telling every bow-legged one of them that they're paying $1,000 to whatever son of a bitch kills the two boys that cut up Delilah.
Those cowboys are right out beef down to Kansas and Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Standing on a ladder, Little Bill narrows his eyes.
How long? All week?
Well, I didn't hear nothing the last night myself.
Hell, the word's probably got all the way down to Texas by now.
Shit, Bill, I guess nobody's gonna come clear from Texas.
Steam billows behind a scrub row.
You sure those whores got all that money?
Well, you know, women can lie, knock them around a little bit, ask them where the money is, they ain't got none. But they could have squirreled away that much to 5 of them. Maybe.
Bill throws down his hammer.
That much, huh?
You could run off them two cowboys.
I could run off them whores.
Bill climbs down.
Well, I guess we'll just up and run anyhow, them two.
Nope. They'll stay out there at the bar tea, close to their friends.
Oh, shit, Bill. Could be nobody won't come at all. Well, gotta go. I like your house.
Crow's feet wrinkle the corners of Little Bill's eyes as he watches Skinny go. Now, on a farm in a lush green valley. Standing in a garden of corn, a broad-featured Indian woman spots Will on his gray horse splashing across a shallow stream. She turns to a shed where a lanky man with freckled mahogany-brown skin and a graying beard works. As he sees Will cutting across a dry field toward the farm, his brown eyes widen.
Well, now, Pete. It's Will.
He smiles. Will stiffly dismounts and winces.
Hey, Will. Come on in the house, out the sun.
Ned?
Sally?
See the Will's home. Sally?
Sally takes the reins, then grimly strokes the shotgun on Will's saddle.
What you doing here, Will?
Just thought I'd drop in on you.
Inside.
Yeah, Will, we ain't bad men no more. Ship with farmers. Should be easy killing them. Supposing they don't go on down to Texas first.
Ned eyes him sternly.
How long has it been since you fired a gun at a man, Will? 9, 10 years?
Will looks away.
11.
Easy, huh? Hell, I don't know that it was all that easy even back then. We was young and full of beans. I mean, if you was mad at them, Will, I mean, if they'd done you some wrong, I could see shooting them.
We'd done stuff for money before, Ned.
Will sips some coffee.
Yeah. We thought we did. All right, so what these fellas do? Cheated cards? Steal some strays? Spit on a rich fella? What?
No, they cut up a woman.
What?
Yeah, cut up her face, cut her eyes out, cut her fingers off, cut her tits. Everything but her cunning, I suppose.
Well, guess they got it coming. Of course, you know, Will, Claudia was alive, you wouldn't be doing this.
Wide-eyed, Will slowly looks up at Ned. Ned cocks an eyebrow matter-of-factly and sips his coffee. Will picks up his hat and stands.
I suppose you'd mind looking in on my youngsters next week. I guess some hogs are trying to separate.
Will?
Will stops.
How long do you reckon you're gonna be?
2 weeks, I guess.
He turns for the door.
Will!
Will stops and peers under the sloping brim of his hat at Ned.
This kid, what's he like?
A wooden handle rifle is mounted over the door.
3 ways?
So you still have that Spencer rifle, huh?
And I can still knock the eye out of a bird flying, too.
Ned raises his eyebrows. Will nods and grins. Later, Will tries to mount his jittery horse and falls flat again.
Jesus, Will.
Standing and taking hold of the saddle horn, Will steps into the stirrup, then bounces and swings himself into the saddle. Ned, mounted on a reddish-brown Appaloosa with gray-flecked hindquarters, looks down at Sally. Their dark brown eyes sternly linger. The sun glows on Sally's bronze skin as she watches Ned ride off with Will. Later, under a clear sky, Ned and Will trot side by side across a rolling brown prairie. A steady breeze ruffles the slender, bristly grass. With his lips clamped together, Will rides straight back, his right arm at his side. A black bandana tied around his neck bounces on his shoulder. As dusk falls, the sky turns a golden pink.
He must be moving right along.
Yeah, we'll come across him tomorrow, I reckon.
Silhouetted by the setting sun, Will takes the lead down a scrubby slope. Nighttime. Beside a blazing campfire, Will climbs into his bedroll while Ned cleans a frying pan.
Gotta get used to my bed. This ain't gonna be like no home.
It ain't the only thing I'm gonna be missing, I tell you. Boy, I'm gonna...
Ned stops cleaning for a moment and looks softly at Will.
Oh, Will, I'm sorry.
Don't fret it. It ain't nothing.
Firelight flickers on his whiskered face.
She don't like it much, does she? You riding off with me.
Sally?
Gave me the evil eye.
You know, Sally's engine and engines ain't over-friendly, Will.
Ned sits next to him.
I don't blame her. I ain't gonna hold it against her. She knew me back then. She knew what a no good son of a bitch I was. She just ain't allowing that I've changed. She don't realize I ain't like that no more.
Well. Well, you know, Will.
I hate to say him, Ned. Claudia, she straightened me up. Cleared me of drinking whiskey and all. Just because we're going on this killing, that don't mean I'm going to go back to being the way I was. I just need the money. Get a new start for them youngsters.
They stare into the fire.
Ned, you remember that drover I shot through the mouth? His teeth came out the back of his head.
Ned nods faintly.
I think about him now and again. He didn't do anything to deserve to get shot. At least nothing I could remember when I sobered up.
Ned lies back and covers his eyes with his hat.
He was one crazy son of a bitch, Will.
Yeah, no one liked me, and the boys all thought I was gonna shoot him out of pure meanness.
Well, you ain't like that no more.
Eagle, he hated my guts. Bonaparte didn't think too much of me either.
Quincy neither, I reckon.
No. Quincy used to just watch all the time. Scared.
Well, like I said, I ain't like that no more.
That's right. I'm just a fella now. I ain't no different than anyone else. No more.
Daytime. A Northwest Railroad train rolls through a valley. A passenger reads the Cheyenne Gazette, headlined President Garfield in Critical Condition. Nearby, a scraggly fellow eyes a dapper man in a crisp suit.
All I want to know is what son of a bitch shot him is all. Was it one of them John Bulls?
Oh, no, sir. I believe the would-be assassin to be a gentleman of French ancestry, or so it would seem. I don't wish to give offense when I observe that the French are known to be a race of assassins, though they can't shoot worth a damn. Any Frenchmen of the present company are excluded, of course.
There's here a fellow by the name of Gitto. G-U-I-T.
Sure as hell sounds like a John Bull to me.
Well, sir, again, I don't wish to give offense when I suggest that this country should select a king or even a queen rather than a president. One isn't that quick to shoot a king or a queen. The majesty of royalties.
Joe firmly eyes the dapper Englishman.
Well, maybe you don't wish to give offense, sir, but you are giving it pretty thick. This country don't need no queens whatsoever, I reckon. As a matter of fact, what I heard about queens...
Shut up, Joe.
What the hell's wrong with you, Thirsty? This dude, son of a bitch...
Might be that this dude here is English Bob.
The Englishman smirks.
He's the one who works for the railroad shooting Chinamen. Might be he's waiting for some crazy cowboy to touch his pistol so he can shoot him down.
Changing seats, a curly-haired passenger with long sideburns, rectangular spectacles, and a round hat sits next to the Englishman. Scraggly Joe glares at the well-dressed men.
Is that a fact, mister? You English Bob?
The Englishman eyes the passenger beside him.
Pheasants.
The passenger nods.
Let's shoot some pheasants. 10 shots. And let's say, $1 a pheasant. I'll shoot for the queen and you for, well, whomever.
Later, the contestants stand on a rolling freight car as pheasants take flight. The Englishman fires a pistol. Onlookers gape as a bird drops from the sky.
Well, that's 8 for me in one field. That comes to 7 of your American dollars.
Joe pays up.
Pretty damn good shooting. For a John Bull.
Well, no doubt your aim was affected by your grief.
Thirsty pays the spectacle passenger.
Over the injury to your president.
Later, a horse-drawn stagecoach rattles away from the train depot into the countryside. In the boxy red coach, English Bob sits across from his spectacled companion and a white-haired traveler.
Oh, it's the climate that does it. That and the infernal distances.
Does what?
Induces people to shoot persons in high places.
They pass a no firearms sign.
You know, it's a savage country, really. That's the second one they shot in 20 years.
It's uncivilized shooting persons of substance.
The stagecoach rolls into Big Whiskey past the women's dusty house. On the front porch, Alice waves. Silky and Little Sue smile. English Bob, wearing his stringy hair in a ponytail, tips his black hat at them. As two Chinese men pass on the street, he makes a gun with his finger, aims it at them, and mouths, pop, pop, pop. His thin lips stretch into a grin. In his 60s, he has sharp features and a rusty yellow beard. The town square bustles with horses and wagons as the stage driver reins his stocky team up a wide dirt road. Beyond the rolling green foothills, a haze colors the mountains a cool blue. A young, clean-shaven deputy, with a star pinned to his brown suede vest, hawkishly watches the stagecoach pull up to Greeley's saloon. English Bob climbs down, flashing an ivory-handled pistol on his belt.
Thank you.
The young deputy steps over.
Pardon me, gentlemen.
The Englishman and his companion stop.
The local ordinance obliges you to surrender all sidearms to the proper authorities for the duration of your visit.
Proper authority?
The deputy nods firmly.
Well, I can assure you, young man, that neither my companion nor I carry firearms on our person. We rely upon the goodwill of our fellow man.
The deputy glimpses his gun.
Forbearance of reptiles.
Later, in the sheriff's office, a fat deputy slides bullets into a revolver while a thin, sweat-glistened man loads a shotgun. The young, clean-shaven deputy cocks his rifle.
Unarm my ass. Oh, crap, it's hot.
I'm gonna get shot. I'd rather it's hot than cold. Everything hurts me more when it's cold. You know how if you hit your thumb and it's cold...
Shut up, Fanny.
I'll only say right that...
Little Bill with it?
No.
Shit.
Clyde, the black-bearded deputy, saunters in. His empty left sleeve dangles armless.
Boys, clean my rim. Clean and loaded.
Fatty hands him a revolver.
Where's Little Bill, for Christ's sake? Built his damn porch. Built his porch.
You're gonna get shot, Andy. Would you like it better on a hot day or a cold day?
I ain't gonna get shot.
The young deputy glances at Fatty.
He's coming, Andy. Of course he's coming.
Clyde empties his gun.
I just loaded that. What you doing?
I don't trust nobody to load my guns.
For a shooting.
Clyde reloads.
What'd he say? Little Bill didn't say nothing. I said he was building his porch. You seen that thing?
It was all loaded. I mean, Jesus, Clyde. You got three pistols and you only got one arm, for Christ's sake.
I just don't want to get killed for lack of shooting back. You know, you don't have a straight angle in that whole goddamn porch. Or in the whole house, for that matter. He is the worst damn carpenter.
He didn't say nothing, huh?
That's what they look like, that's all. Christ, maybe he's tough, but he sure ain't no carpenter.
Maybe he ain't so tough. Seemed like he was scared.
Little Bill? Him scared?
You never seen him up against any like these ones. Killers.
Little Bill come out of Kansas and Texas, boys. He worked them tough towns.
Just wondered. Anybody could be scared.
Charlie breathes quickly, gleaming with sweat. Clyde twirls his pistol.
Well, he wasn't scared, boys. He just ain't no carpenter.
Now in a barber shop, the barber helps the smoothly shaven Englishman on with his jacket.
Well, there's a dignity in royalty, a majesty, which precludes the likelihood of assassination. Now, if you were to point a pistol at a king or a queen, your hands would shake as though pulled it.
Oh, I wouldn't point no pistol at nobody, sir.
Well, that's a wise policy, a wise policy. But if you did, I can assure you, if you did, that the sight of royalty would cause you to dismiss all thoughts of bloodshed, wow. And you would stand, how shall I put it, in awe. Now, a president. Well, I mean, why not shoot the president?
English Bob's spectacle companion flips the barber a coin and steps outside.
Keep the change.
Thank you.
This is Strawberry Alice person. Tell me again.
Down the street and across, Greeley's Beer Garden and Billiard Parlor. Just ask for Alice, say you want a game of billiards.
Billiards?
Mm-hmm.
even though I don't really wish to play.
Oh, no matter. They burned the table in 78 for firewood.
Quite right.
He steps outside.
Well, Miss Beauchamp, I think a cup of tea...
He freezes when four deputies point their guns at him. His companion stands paralyzed. The Englishman's pinched eyes flicker as he glimpses Little Bill in the street, his right thumb hooked on his gun belt. The sheriff smiles.
Hello, Bob. Boys, this here's English Bob.
Shit, frog eggs.
The women and townspeople gather at the scene.
Been a long time, Bob. Did you run out of Chinamen?
Bill. Well, I thought you was, I thought that you were dead. I see you've shaved your chin whiskers off.
I was tasting the soup 2 hours after it ended.
Well, actually, what I heard was that you fell off your horse, drunk, of course, and that you broke your bloody neck.
I heard that one myself, Bob. Hell, I even thought I was dead. Till I found out it was just that I was in Nebraska. Who's your friend?
W.W. Beauchamp.
Beauchamp.
This is Little Bill Daggett. And friends, of course.
Daggett.
From Newton?
Hayes?
From Abilene?
In person?
You work for the railroads too, Mr. Beauchamp?
No. I write.
Letters?
Books, Bill. Books. Actually, he's my biographer.
Beauchamp reaches in his bag.
Wouldn't do that if I were you, Mr. Beauchamp.
Pee streams down Beauchamp's right pant leg onto his black leather shoe.
It's only a book.
A book, huh?
Beauchamp nods, and Little Bill strolls onto the wooden platform outside the barbershop.
Well, I guess that means you boys can read. So I guess that means that you saw the signs outside of town there saying surrender your firearms?
English Bob shifts his weight.
But like you told young Andy here, you're not armed, are you, Bob? Well, not really, Bill. Got a peacemaker, but that wouldn't worry you. Would it? I mean, if you don't see it, almost particularly if you don't hear it.
I'm afraid so, Bob. I don't like firearms around.
Skinny joins the curious crowd. As Bob lifts his hand, Bill clenches the handle of his holstered pistol. Their eyes lock. Slowly, Bob opens his jacket, revealing the ivory-handled pistol on his bullet-studded gun belt. Little Bill nods to Andy, and the young deputy takes Bob's weapon.
Be very careful with
this. Little Bill keeps his hand on his pistol and his flinty eyes on Bob.
Charlie, see what kind of books Mr. Beauchamp is packing here.
Behind his double-barrel shotgun, Charlie nervously steps onto the platform.
Make sure you don't get wet.
Charlie swats Beauchamp's hand away, then digs through his bag. Little Sue watches with faith.
No shit, Little Bill. All he's got here is writing stuff in this here book.
Bill glances at the title.
The Duke of Death. The Duke, Bill.
Beauchamp shakes his head submissively.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
I'll have that 32, Bob.
Bob freezes, his back to Little Bill. The Englishman's blue eyes smolder, narrow and beady. A gentle wind ruffles his thin, stringy hair as he turns slowly around and grins.
Now, Little Bill, you will leave me at the mercy of my enemies.
Bob opens his long black jacket, exposing a slim holster on his side.
Enemies, Bob?
Little Bill takes the small pistol from him.
You've been talking about the Queen again?
Bill makes a fist.
On Independence Day?
English Bob lurches over into the street, then rolls onto his hands and knees. Little Bill kicks his face. Alice looks on, wide-eyed, as the sheriff towers over English Bob and scowls.
I guess you think I'm kicking you, Bob.
Bill boots him again.
It ain't so. What I'm doing is this, Bob. You hear? Talking all those villains down there in Kansas.
And I'm talking all those villains in Missouri.
Cringing, Bob gets to his knees. Delilah looks away as Bob writhes in the dirt.
All those villains! Down in Cheyenne!
As blood streams down Bob's face, deputies Charlie and Clyde gaze uneasily at the sheriff.
I'm telling them there ain't no horse gold!
Skinny covers his mouth. Beside him, Faith and little Sue hold each other.
Even if there was, well, they wouldn't want to come looking for it. Anyhow!
Bob curls on his side, and little Bill wails his gut again. Little Bill throws his hat at the squirming Englishman. Alice flinches. English Bob's red, pouchy eyes slam shut, and he collapses. Oozing cuts streak his pain-twisted face. The sheriff briskly runs a hand through his receding curly gray hair, then snatches his hat off the ground and waves it at the motionless townspeople.
What are y'all looking at? Go on, get out of here!
Skinny, Faith, and little Sue turn to go, and the barber returns to his shop.
Go on, mind your own business!
Little Bill's dark eyes blaze. The townspeople slowly step away from the scene. One-armed Clyde stands rigid, blinking his narrowed eyes at the ground. Outside the barber's shop, Beauchamp gazes into the street with an open-mouthed stare. Delilah turns her scarred face away. Little Bill shoots a piercing glance at Alice, then slaps the dust off his hat. Now on the prairie, Ned and Will ride side by side.
Hey, Will, you ever go into town?
On occasion, sell a hog, pick up supplies.
No, I mean, get yourself a woman or something.
No, I never go into town for that. A man like me, only woman a man like me could get is one he'd have to pay for her. That ain't right, buying flesh. Claudia, rest her soul, would never want me doing something like that, me being a father-in-law. So, you just use your hand?
Will shoots a skewed glance at Ned, then watches the trail and smiles faintly.
I don't miss it all that much.
Will's horse bucks him off. Ned hops to the ground and lies behind a thicket of sagebrush. Will flips onto his hands and knees, his backside covered in dust, then grabs his wide-brimmed hat and puts it on as he crawls over to Ned.
Will! Goddamn, somebody's shooting at us.
Yeah.
Shit. Did it hit you?
Blood streams from Will's nose.
Oh, no, I bumped my head falling off my horse.
They glimpse gun smoke in a clearing about 50 yards away.
Ain't shooting at us no more. Shooting Will, Will? What the hell's he shooting at over there?
It's the hell out of me.
They scan the country.
You don't reckon we in somebody's field, do you?
I didn't see nothing planted.
They duck.
Shooting at us again.
Hell, he's shooting up the whole horizon, Will.
Hey! Now, wait a minute. You're gonna mark us. Hey, kid!
Kid? You mean that's the kid shooting at us?
Hey, kid, it's me, Will Money.
What the hell is the kid shooting at us for?
Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's me.
Now, don't go shooting at us no more, you hear me?
Who in the hell you got with you, Will?
The kid aims his way.
That's Ned Logan, my old partner. Now, don't go shooting at us, you hear? We're going to collect our horses and come on over there. You ain't gonna shoot now, are you?
No. No, I ain't.
The boyish blonde-haired kid squints at them, his scruffy face pink from the sun. In a grassy clearing, Will and Ned tie their horses to a dead log, then meet the kid under a cottonwood tree.
Chase that horse a damn mile.
What the hell was you shooting at us for anyhow?
I thought she was following me.
We was following you. Like you said, if I changed my mind...
Wasn't nothing said about no partner, Will.
Well, this here's Ned Logan. This is the Schofield kid, nephew to Pete Sathow.
I seen two fellas following me. My guess is he come kill me. We never talked about no other fella.
Well, there's two of them cowboys, isn't there? Better there's three of us in case they got friends.
I figure I can take care of them two cowboys myself. It don't take three.
Ned's an awful good shot with a rifle. You can have bird in the eye flying.
Better than you anyhow, kid. Hell, you wasn't even coming close.
Get your damn hands off my rifle, mister.
The kid strokes his holstered pistol, clenching a blade of grass in his lips. Ned gapes, then turns to Will and sets the kid's rifle down.
Thought I'd check it for you. Thought maybe something was bent.
It ain't bent.
Well, you were shooting all over creation.
You gonna share your half with him?
I figure three ways.
You figured wrong.
Sorry I wasted your time, Ned.
Will and Ned walk to their horses.
What, you going back with him?
Well, he's my partner. You don't go, I don't go.
Ned mounts his horse. The kid stares at Will through slit eyes.
What's it come to three ways?
Will and Ned exchange a glance. Later, under a crystal clear sky, the three men canter through a sea of tall, swaying brown grass that stretches endlessly to the horizon. As the sun sparkles overhead, they reach a hilltop overlooking a wooded basin. Hazy blue mountains roll into the distance. On a strong chestnut-brown horse, the kid gently leads the way into the valley, where the trees glisten with golden autumn foliage. Bouncing in their saddles at a trot, the riders splash through a clear, shallow stream, then ride single file under fluttering orange leaves with the sun on their backs. Later, they cross a bristly field side by side. Will, his black bandana tied around his neck, glances up at the sky.
Shit. What
the hell are you pissing on about?
What?
Well, what are you looking at, anyhow?
Looking at? Clouds, kid. Looking at them clouds over yonder on the corner. We got a storm riding up our ass.
Slate blue clouds hang heavily.
Oh, them. Hell, I seen them.
The kid trots up ahead. Ned, his eyes shaded from the sun by the curl brim of his hat, looks over at Will, then joins the kid in the lead and smiles.
You were smart to change your mind, kid.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a real good shot with this rifle.
Ned points at the sky.
Yeah. See that hawk up there?
The kid squints up at a heavy storm cloud.
I could hit that hawk with one shot.
Behind them, Will scans the birdless sky.
Hell, I could hit it too, Ned, if I didn't mind wasting a shot.
Ned stops his horse.
There ain't no hawk, kid. You can't see for shit, can you?
The kid throws Ned's tin canteen to the ground.
See your canteen?
The kid hits it. He glares down at the smoking canteen.
All right, how far can you see?
Far enough.
We ain't going to Wyoming to shoot canteens, goddammit. How far? 100 yards?
More.
Can you see that scrub oak yonder?
Fuck you, Ned.
He's blind, Will.
I ain't blind, you asshole!
He raises his gun.
Now hold on, hold it. How far can you see, kid? 50 yards?
You bet your ass I can see 50 yards, Will. I can see well enough to shoot this son of a bitch right here in front of me.
Now hold on. You hear that, Ned? Kid can see 50 yards. Fine.
Ned trots off.
50 yards will do just fine. Now let's move out.
Now in Big Whiskey. At the jail, Little Bill sits at a desk outside English Bob's cell reading The Duke of Death.
Oh, that looked like real hard cases, Bob. Did you kill all 7 of them dead? Or did you just wing some of them?
In a neighboring cell, Beauchamp peers through the bars at Bob's battered face.
Now that is you there, Bob, on the cover?
Bill points to an illustrated gunman.
The Duke of Death?
It's the Duke. Duke of Death.
Duke of Death. You always were a hell and Jesus with a pistol, Bob. But 7 of them, boy. And you protect that woman and all that. How the hell do you do that?
It's generally considered desirable in the publishing business to take a certain liberty when you're depicting the cover scene. It is for reasons involving the marketplace, etc.
Well, Mr. Beauchamp, from what I read this here book, the writing's not that much different than the picture.
Well, I can assure you, Mr. Daggett, that the events that are described in there are taken from the account of eyewitnesses, sir.
Eyewitnesses?
Yes, sir.
You mean like the duck himself, I guess.
The Duke.
Duck, I says.
Beauchamp's face sags. Little Bill opens the book to read, and Beauchamp sinks onto his cot.
You have insulted the honor of this beautiful woman, Corcoran, said the duck. You must apologize. But Two-Gun Corcoran would have none of it. And cursing, he reached for his pistols and would have killed him. But the duck was faster. And hot lead blazed from his smoking six guns.
See, I consider that to be an accurate depiction of the events. Albeit, all right, there is a certain poetry to the language which I couldn't resist.
Mr. Beauchamp.
Little Bill saunters to his cell.
I was in the Blue Bottle Saloon in Wichita the night that English Bob killed Corky Corcoran. I didn't see you there. There's no woman. No two-gun shooters. But none of this.
You were there?
Yeah, I was there.
Bob's bruised left eye is swollen shut.
First off, Corky never carried two guns. Oh, he should have.
He was called Two-Gun Corcoran.
Yeah, well, a lot of folks did call him Two-Gun. But that wasn't because he was sporting two pistols. That was because he had a dick that was so big, it was longer than the barrel on that Walker Colt that he carried. And the only insulting he ever did was stick that thing of his into this French lady that English Bob here was kind of sweet on. You see, the night that Corky walked into the Blue Bottle, before he knows what's happening, Bob here takes a shot at him. And he misses because he's damn drunk. Now, that bullet wasn't by, panicked old Corky. And he did the wrong thing. He went for his gun in such a hurry, shot his own damn toe off. Meantime, Bob here, he's aiming real good, and he squeezes off another. But he misses, because he's still so damn drunk, and he hits this $1,000 mirror up over the bar. But now, the duck of death is as good as dead. Because Corky does it right. Aims real careful. No hurry.
And?
Bam! That Walker Colt blew up in his hand, which was a failing common to that model. You see, if old Corky had two guns instead of just a big dick, he would have been there right to the end to defend himself.
Wait a minute, you mean that English Bob killed him when he didn't even have...
Well, old Bob wasn't going to wait for Corky to grow a new hand. No, he just walked over there real slow. Because he was drunk. Shot him right through the liver.
Bill stares down at the Englishman. Lying on the cot, Bob turns his blood-stained face away. Little Bill grins over at Beauchamp, and the stunned biographer sits down heavily. Now on the dark prairie, Will and Ned lie by a campfire.
Damn, I don't like rocks on my dadgone back. I should have missed my bed.
You said that last night.
No, last night I said I missed my wife. Tonight I just missed my dadgone bed.
Miss your dead gum roof here in a while, I suppose.
Ned tilts his hat over his eyes. Across the blazing campfire, the kid lies beside his gun belt, pulls a wool blanket over his clothes, and props himself on his elbow.
Say, Will. That business up in Jackson County, that really happened? I mean, the way they say it happened.
What business?
On how there's two deputies up close pointing their rifles right at you? Had you dead to rights. You pulled out your pistol and blew them both to hell. You only took a scratch yourself.
The fire's flickering orange light glows on Will's drawn face.
Yeah. Uncle Pete says he never seen nothing like it. Shooting your way out of a scrape like that.
The kid takes off his hat and lies down.
Yeah. Well, I don't recollect.
The kid pops up onto his elbow.
You don't recollect?
That's right.
Say, Ned.
Ned lies still, his hat over his eyes.
How many men you kill?
The kid's skinny eyes shift.
Ain't you gonna answer the question?
What the hell's that to you?
Will glances at Ned's hidden face.
Well, I gotta know what kind of fella I'm riding with, in case we get into a scrape and all.
Ned tips up his hat and eyes the kid.
How many men you killed, kid?
5.
How many?
The kid licks his bottom lip.
5. I done killed 5 of them.
Ned lies down and covers his face.
That's including a Mexican. He come out here with a knife.
Why don't you shut up and get some rest?
The boys are as crotchy as a couple old hands, let me tell you.
Now at the jail, Beauchamp sits at the desk.
Actually, then, Mr. Corcoran was faster on the draw than the duck, than in English Bob.
Faster? Faster was his mistake. If he hadn't been in such a goddamn hurry, he wouldn't have shot himself in the toe with that first shot. He would have killed old Bob. Look, son. Being a good shot, being quick with a pistol, that don't do no harm, but it don't mean much next to being cool-headed. A man who'll keep his head, not get rattled under fire, like as not he'll kill you.
But if the other fella is quicker and fires first,
then he'll be hurrying and he'll miss. Look here.
Little Bill swiftly draws his gun.
That's about as fast as I can draw and aim and hit anything. More than 10 feet away. Unless it's a barn.
But if he doesn't miss,
then he'll kill you.
Beauchamp frowns.
Yeah, that's why there's so few dangerous men around, like old Bob. Like me. It ain't so easy to shoot a man anyhow, you know. Especially if some bitch is shooting back at you. I mean, that'll just flat rattle some folks.
Beauchamp writes.
Let me show you something.
Just a minute.
Look here.
Take that.
Little Bill tosses a revolver on the desk.
Go on, take it.
Beauchamp hesitantly picks up the weapon. Little Bill holds out a key ring.
There's the key.
He drops it on the desk.
All you gotta do is shoot me. And you and Bob can just ride on out of here free as birds.
Beauchamp glances at the bloodied Englishman in his cell, wincing as he sits up.
Is it loaded?
Wouldn't do you much good if it wasn't. First, you got to cock it.
Beauchamp stares at the revolver in his hands, then glances from English Bob to the sheriff.
Go on, cock it.
Beauchamp pulls back the hammer and stands, holding the gun limply in his right hand.
Now you got to point it.
Beauchamp's lips flutter wordlessly.
Go on, point it.
Little Bill's dark eyes challenge the young writer. Bob sighs, his gaunt face streaked crimson. 3 feet from the sheriff, Beauchamp takes aim.
Now all you gotta do is pull the trigger, mister.
The barrel aimed at his chest, Little Bill stands rigidly as the pistol trembles in Beauchamp's hand. Glistening with sweat, the writer glances at English Bob, then faintly shakes his head and lowers the gun muzzle.
Hot, ain't it? You didn't even put your finger on the trigger.
What if I give it to him?
Give it to him.
Little Bill grins at English Bob. Beauchamp drags his tongue over his lips, then smirks.
Then you don't really want me to give it to him.
Beauchamp flinches under the sheriff's firm gaze. Leaning wearily against the cell wall, the Englishman gathers a long breath. Beauchamp glances at Bob's bruised face, then backs slowly over to his cell and holds out the revolver. Through the iron bars, English Bob looks past the weapon at Little Bill, who stands tall and still. A deep cleft dimples his smooth, clean-shaven chin. Bob clambers to his feet, settles his heavy lidded eyes on the sheriff, and inches toward the revolver. Beauchamp pumps his lips nervously. Locked in a rigid stare with the sheriff, English Bob slowly reaches for the gun, trembling in Beauchamp's grip. Little Bill twitches his head, then squeezes the butt of his holstered pistol. English Bob's hand hovers inches from the outstretched weapon, then grips a cell bar. Little Bill grins.
I guess you don't want it, Mr. Beauchamp.
Beauchamp hands the revolver to Little Bill, then pushes his spectacles up his sweat-glistened nose and takes a deep breath. The sheriff empties the revolver. As the bullets drop to the floor, English Bob closes his eyes and droops. Little Bill glares through the iron bars.
You're right not to take it, Bob. I would have killed you.
Bob rolls his eyes. With a wry grin on his bloodied face, Bob slumps back against the cell wall. Little Bill tosses the revolver onto a desk. Beauchamp flinches at the sound and stares nervously at the gun. Little Bill strolls to a window and strokes his neck as he gazes into the night.
You could use some rain, Mr. Beauchamp.
The jittery writer nods. In torrential rain, Will stumbles trying to mount his horse.
Oh, God, you no good. Big fucking whore. Whoa. Sorry, old horse.
Finally settled into the saddle, Will clutches his coat tight around his neck and joins Ned and the kid riding at a slow walk through the downpour. Ned holds up a corked bottle.
I brung this along for when we have to kill them fellas. Figured we could use some now.
Not me. I don't touch it no more.
Oh, come on. Will, it's raining.
I know it's raining. Get some of the kid, why don't you?
Ned raises the bottle and takes a swallow.
You think that kid really killed five men?
No.
You know, when he was talking back there about the time them deputies had the drop on you and Pete.
Yeah?
Well, I remember there was three men you shot, Will, not two.
Well, I ain't like that no more, Ned. I ain't no crazy killing fool.
Still think it's gonna be easy to kill them cowboys?
We don't drown first.
They press on through the rain. Morning. Little Bill hands a key ring to a stagecoach driver.
Give these keys to the conductor. Tell him he can loose old Bob's cuffs as soon as he's outside the county.
Yeah.
Bob sits inside.
Got my pistols.
The barrel of the pistol is bent back.
I guess you know, Bob, that if I see you again, I'm just going to start shooting and figure it's self-defense.
His face bruised and cut, Bob glares at Little Bill as the stagecoach starts off.
I didn't steal your biographer.
He points to Beauchamp.
Well, stand on his own account.
Well, he can go stuff himself as well, can't he? A plague on you. A plague on the whole stinking lot of you. Without morals or laws. And all you whores, you got no laws. You got no honor.
The women stare after the stage.
You're a lot of savages, isn't it, you all are? A bunch of bloody savages!
On Greeley's porch.
Nobody's gonna come. Huh? After what Little Bill done to that Englishman.
Delilah, them papers ain't clean. Can't you get them clean? Well, maybe if you'd cover up your face, somebody might want to hump with you and have to do all that cleaning.
Delilah turns away.
What are you calling things you cover up your face with?
A veil.
Yeah, a veil. Get a veil.
Delilah glances at the other women, then lowers her large blue eyes and walks inside. Alice scans the heavens.
Rain's coming.
Oh, God.
A light breeze shakes tendrils of fine red hair dangling around Alice's lean, ruddy face. With her lips held in a firm line, she lowers her blue eyes. In the downpour, the three gunmen watch a train pass. They glimpse English Bob asleep in the last car, his battered face pressed against the window. Ned raises his bottle.
Will?
Clutching his coat, Will glances away.
Sure?
Will starts off across the tracks. Ned takes a swallow, then hands the bottle to the kid, who does the same. The three men ride close together along the muddy road, their heads bent against the storm.
You all right there, Will?
They pass by a wooden sign proclaiming Ordinance 14, no firearms in Big Whiskey. Later, Silky opens Alice's bedroom door.
Hey, what's Phil asking for you, Alice?
Tonight? You ain't joshing?
This way, mister.
It's being randy as hell to come out on this ship.
Alice shakes a canister and rubs talc under her arms. A man darkens the doorway and removes his hat. It's the kid. Now, in Little Bill's kitchen, rainwater drips into pots.
Oh, no, you're wrong, Little Bill, he said. That's not a Curly J, that's a Bob J.
You know, he changed it over.
And I said to him, Jim, you're a liar and a horse thief.
Beauchamp takes notes by candlelight.
Now, when he saw the rest of them wasn't going to help him none, they started crying and sobbing and just carrying on.
Yeah.
He said, oh, Bill, please, oh, God, please don't kill me, Bill. Please don't kill me, Bill. I said, Jim, it just makes me sick.
He dumps a bowl of rainwater out the window.
Yeah. I see a man carrying two pistols and a Henry rifle and crying like a damn baby.
So, you killed him?
No, but I should have. I can't abide them kind. You see them in the tavern, you know? Tramps and drunk teamsters and crazed miners. You know, sporting their pistols and acting like they was bad men, but without any sand or character. Not even any bad character.
He waves an imposing finger at Beauchamp.
I do not like assassins. Assassins. Or men of low character.
Yeah.
Like your friend English Bob. Uh-huh. But now, Bob was no coward, you know.
No.
No, he wouldn't come up to your face and cry and carry on like that.
Beauchamp throws up his hands at the leaking rain.
Yeah, damn. Well, I don't have any more receptacles.
Yeah, maybe you should just hang the carpenter.
Little Bill glares fiercely.
What?
Oh, I was just saying that because of the, you know, if you hang... Doesn't matter.
What the hell? Night like this?
He strolls through the dark house.
Who the hell is it?
Deputy Charlie Hacker, Bill.
He opens the door.
What?
Two fellas just come into town, Bill. They're down to Greeley's. At least two of them got guns.
In Greeley's saloon, Will sits at a table with his head bowed. Beside him, Ned gazes at the staircase.
The hell's keeping that kid?
You don't suppose he's a...
Jesus, Will. You look like shit.
Will looks up. Filmy sweat covers his face and thin, quivering lips.
You remember Eagle? Had her shot?
Yeah.
I saw.
Well, he's dead.
No, I saw him, Ned. His head was all broke open. I could see inside of it.
Jesus, man. You got a fever. Take a drink, will you?
Worms are coming out.
No, Will. I'm gonna go up and see what's keeping the kid. Must be he's getting an advance from one of them sporting ladies. Will, look, if I was to, if it worked out that I could take a little time for myself, I don't suppose you would be. I mean, you wouldn't...
Will peers out from under his hat.
I guess you wouldn't want to come.
At the bar, Skinny and Fatty, the deputy, watch Ned climb the stairs. A couple of beer-drinking card players look up from their game and follow the dark-skinned gunman with their eyes. Ned passes the billiard sign, opens the door, and goes inside. Behind the bar, Delilah frowns, her large, sad eyes fixed on Will. Seated alone at the table, Will gazes at Ned's shot of whiskey. He sniffs meekly at the drink, then raises a bony hand and pushes the glass away. With a shiver, Will clutches his dark wool coat tight to his neck and lowers his head to his chest. The front door opens. Little Bill enters the saloon with his deputies, Charlie and Clyde, with Beauchamp in tow. At the bar, Fatty draws his revolver. Two patrons leave their table as the sheriff and his men advance. The lawmen wear brimmed hats and leather dusters darkened by rain. Delilah watches with a devastated frown as the men surround Will. Clyde draws his revolver, and Charlie, with wide, nervous eyes, aims his rifle 2 feet from the back of Will's head. Beauchamp peers out from behind Little Bill as the sheriff levels his stern gaze on Will, hunched over and shivering in his chair.
Give me the pistol, mister.
Will slowly turns his head and looks at the sheriff.
I says, give me over your pistol.
I ain't drunk.
Ordinance
that says you got to turn in your firearms to the county office, day or night.
Will looks away, his face gaunt and haggard. Little Bill strides forward, staring down at the shivering man.
I guess you didn't see the sign with the weather and all.
No. But I know how.
What about your friends upstairs? You got any pistols?
No, they ain't armed either.
Uh-huh. Spilled your whiskey.
Okay, I said,
What's your name?
William? Hendershot.
Deputy Andy enters with his rifle.
Well, Mr. William Hendershot, what if I was to say you was a no-good son of a bitch and a liar?
Will glares.
And then if I was to say that you shit in your pants because of a cowardly soul, I bet you'd show me that pistol right quick, wouldn't you? You'd shoot me dead. Isn't that so?
Will turns his weather-beaten, stubbled face. He spies Fatty's revolver aimed right at him.
Maybe, yeah, I guess. But the fact is I ain't carrying no firearm.
Get up.
Will doesn't move. Charlie holds his aim. Clyde and Fatty cock their revolvers. The saloon patrons watch from their dark corners. Will raises a cool glare at Little Bill, then stands up. Little Bill motions for him to open his coat.
Come on.
He tosses open the left side of Will's dark wool duster, then the right side. With a swift yank, he unholsters Will's revolver and holds it up.
What's this for, snakes and such? Yeah. We don't have any snakes in here, Mr. Hendershot.
Will glances around the room.
Ain't loaded. Hot as wet.
Little Bill nods and turns around.
You see, Mr. Beauchamp?
The rider eagerly steps forward.
This is the kind of trash I'm picking up.
He bashes Will with a punishing backhand. Will drops to the floor and the sheriff kicks him in the face. Will crawls to the bar.
You find this kind in all the saloons and all your prosperous communities. Wichita?
He drops Will with a vicious punch to the eye.
Over in Cheyenne?
He plants his boot in Will's ribs and Charlie lowers his rifle.
Abilene?
Clyde and Beauchamp flinch at Little Bill's final kicks.
But you won't find him in the town of Big Whiskey.
Upstairs, Ned hops around half-dressed and Alice opens a window.
Hurry up! You know what you say to Little Bill. But you got to look sharp for that long pine. You missed the pine, you ain't gonna find it.
Okay, never mind the shirt, man. Put the fucking boot on!
Ned falls backwards out the window, rolls down a rain-slick roof, and falls 10 feet to the ground. The kid climbs down with their guns.
What about Will? What are we gonna do about Will?
Come on, kid. Let's hope the horses are still there.
They scramble through the rain. Inside, Will slowly crawls across the saloon floor. Andy watches him pass with a solemn frown. Will drags himself forward with his arms and slinks past a wood stove, his face glistening with blood and sweat. Clyde stands over him watching. A couple of the patrons turn away and share a frowning stare. Will forces one arm in front of the other, his bony hands stiff and useless. Deep wrinkles cross his high forehead as he struggles. Little Bill steps forward.
Let the man out, W.W. He's desiring to leave the hospitality of Big Whiskey behind him.
Beauchamp stares, unsure. Little Bill's mouth curls up in a flashy smile, and he winks. Beauchamp touches his sweaty brow and opens the door. At his feet, Will slithers across the threshold and out onto the porch. Beauchamp places wire-rimmed glasses on his nose. He watches Will slide down the porch steps and roll belly up into the muddy, rain-splattered street. Upstairs, Little Bill slaps Alice across the face.
Get easy, Little Bill. She's got to work. She's got to turn a dollar a time. If they was just here for the fucking, how come they lit out the back window?
On account they see you's beating on their friend.
They just come for the billiards, Little Bill, honest.
Billiards?
What do you mean they're just passing through here?
They was going to Fort Buford.
You just kicked the shit out of an innocent man.
Innocent? Innocent in what?
Their eyes lock in a savage stare. Outside, heavy rain masks Ned and the kid as they round a corner and ride up a dark, puddle-strewn street. Ahead of them, Will's gray horse stands ready. Will slumped forward in the saddle. Ned takes the horse's reins.
Ah, Jesus. Will.
Later, the kid holds a candle to Will's sleeping face as Ned sews stitches into a gash.
Jesus, Ned.
You done this before?
Plenty of times.
This pistol must have jammed.
Bring that candle in a little closer. I can't see.
Squinting in the flickering light, Ned squeezes the skin under Will's right eye and pokes the needle through. The kid stares at Will's sweaty skin and shakes his head.
He wouldn't took no beating like that if he hadn't a chance. He wouldn't just give it over and not shoot no one.
Morning at a deserted cabin surrounded by mountains.
You don't look so good.
Silky and Alice straighten their skirts.
He didn't even pull his pistol, huh?
Yeah, well, he ain't as tough as you, kid.
Yeah, well, at least I would have pulled my pistol, Ned.
Well, you did. Right out of the lady and out the goddamn window.
Hey, that was your idea. I wanted to go back.
Hey, we gotta go.
What? Already? Hey, darling, I'm near ready for another advance.
You're gonna use it all up before you can get it.
No more advances on what you ain't done yet. Hey, sweetheart, we're just waiting on the weather to clear. Once this weather clears up...
We're gonna need more food. About 3 days worth.
3 days? Ned, we could kill him tomorrow.
I don't kill nobody without him.
We don't need him. The two of us could do it. Besides, he ain't nothing but a broken down pig farmer.
One of us will bring food in the morning. We'll bring you some whiskey, too.
And some medicine if you got any.
Oh. Don't it make you sick hearing him like that? Hey, don't you ladies worry none! Me and Ned will kill them two sons of bitches for you!
He unfolds two rough charcoal sketches of the cowboys, one clean-shaven, the other bearded. Nighttime.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Will lies under a blanket. Sweat glistens from his face in the firelight.
Will. Claudia's not here.
Is that you, Ned?
I seen him, Ned. I seen the angel of death. Seen the Reverend, Ned. He's got snake eyes.
Oh, Will. Who's got snake eyes?
It's the angel of death. Oh, Ned. Oh, Ned. I'm scared of dying.
Easy, partner. Easy.
I seen Claudia, too.
Well, that's good, Will. That's good to saw Claudia, ain't it?
Her face was all covered with worms. Oh, Ned, I'm scared. I'm dying. You won't. No, don't tell nobody. Don't tell my kids. None of the things I done, hear me?
Ned nods his head.
All right, Will.
Will painfully closes his eyes and Ned turns away. The kid's eyes flit between both men and he leaves. Will's lips tremble. Red scars cross both cheeks on his wrinkled, leathery face. Later, Ned and the kid lie beside a campfire.
He's gonna die, ain't he?
Maybe.
Well, supposing he does.
Ned stares into the flames of the campfire.
We'll bury him.
That ain't what I mean, Ned.
You mean will I help you kill them cowboys?
Well, I can't spot them myself. But you could. That big bastard, you could spot him a half mile off, I bet.
And if I spot him?
Well, then I ride up close and shoot him.
Ned looks up and gazes at the kid.
Just like that.
I told you I'm a damn killer. I've done it before. I'm more of a killer than he is, anyhow.
Ned raises his eyebrows.
Yeah?
The kid glances toward Will.
Yeah.
The kid turns his smooth, boyish face away from Will and squints into the night. Morning. Fresh snow blankets the ground outside the cabin. Inside, Delilah dabs Will's forehead with a white handkerchief as his eyes blink open. He regards the woman's pretty face, crossed with thin red scars.
I thought you was an angel.
You ain't dead.
Will cringes as he feels the healing purple wound under his right eye.
Some big fella, he really kicked the hell out of me.
Delilah nods.
I must look kind of like you now.
You don't look nothing like me, mister.
No offense, Matt. You gotta be the one those cowboys cut up.
She meets his gaze, and a breeze plays with her wispy blonde bangs.
My partners, Ned and that kid, they are out.
They went out scouting when they saw your fever broke.
Scouting?
Out to the bar tea, looking for them.
How long have I been here?
3 days. Are you hungry or...
3 days, I ought to be.
He lifts his bruised head and tenderly touches a wound by his right eye. Delilah offers him a leather canteen, and he drinks. Later, Will looks over the snow-covered valley.
I thought I was gone.
Delilah walks from the horses back to the cabin.
I wouldn't normally pay no notice to high country like this. Trees, but I'm sure notice them now. Thought I was dying for sure.
Delilah holds up a cowboy hat.
I brought your hat. You left it down at Greeley's.
Thanks. Sheriff? He's still looking for me?
Little Bill? No, he thinks you went south.
Will nods and takes another bite of food.
Are you really gonna kill them cowboys?
I guess. Still a payment coming, isn't there?
She smiles.
Them other two, your friends, they've been taking advances on the payment.
Advances?
She sits beside him.
Free ones?
Free ones?
Alice and Silky been giving them free ones.
I see.
Delilah self-consciously touches her wool cape.
Would you like a free one?
Will turns his tanned face toward hers. She returns his squinting gaze with moist, glistening eyes.
No, I guess not.
I didn't mean with me. I meant, Alice and Silky would be happy to give you a free one if you wanted one. That's all I meant.
Oh, I didn't mean I didn't want a free one on account of you being cut up and all. And what I said the other day about you looking like me, that ain't true. You ain't ugly like me. It's just that we both got scars. But you're a beautiful woman, and if I was to want a free one, I'd want it with you, I guess, more than them other two. Just that I can't on account of my wife.
A pale green sunbonnet tied around her head, Delilah stands and faces Will.
Your wife?
Yeah. You see?
He lowers his gaze. Delilah nods and her pouting lips curl up in a grin.
I admire you for that. For being true to your wife and all. I've known a lot of men who weren't.
Yeah, I suppose.
He meets her blue-eyed stare, and she smiles shyly.
Is she back in Kansas?
Yeah. Yeah, she's watching over my young one.
His thin lips part in a crooked, squinting smile. Delilah smiles back.
Hang on, Slim, hang on.
Under a grassy ridge, two cowboys wrestle with a calf. The calf wriggles free, and a mounted cowboy gives chase. The horse falls, trapping the cowboy's leg underneath.
Jesus, fella!
The four other cowboys spot a cloud of gun smoke wafting from the sun-bleached cliffs above them. They scramble for cover against a large rock. Davy lies trapped under his horse.
Jesus, boys, my leg's broke!
In the cliffs above, Ned aims his rifle.
Better finish him, Ned.
He ain't dead? You didn't get him?
Got the boy's horse. Better finish him before he gets clear.
Davy slides his leg free of the horse.
Get behind them rocks, Davy boy!
Get over there, Davy!
The gunmen watch from the cliffs.
What happened? He ain't killed? What's going on?
He gets in those rocks, we ain't gonna get him. Unless we go down there.
What rocks? Why don't you shoot? What's going on, Ned?
The cowboy's shots miss their target. Ned takes aim.
Well, ain't you gonna shoot?
Ned gazes at his partner and shakes his head.
Will.
Will, his eyes alert and focused, takes the rifle from Ned's hands.
I ain't very good with one of these.
He takes aim at Davy, crawling through the dirt. It barely misses.
Davy, the rocks! Keep going!
A cowboy aims.
Did you get him? Will, where is he?
How many more shots do I have? Ned, goddammit, how many more shots do I have?
Ned weakly lifts his head. Will cocks the hammer and takes aim. In the dirt below, Davy frantically drags his busted leg. Will fires and hits a rock, missing by inches.
Go, Davy!
Did you get him?
Will cocks and aims again. Davy crawls, belly down, his jaw clenched, and his eyes desperately fixed on the cliffs above. Will lowers the rifle. Davy pushes with his good leg, inching himself to safety behind a rock. Will hands the gun to the kid.
Here, reload this.
You missed him.
I got him.
They shot me, boys.
He ain't killed.
They shot me.
Maybe, maybe not. Got him through the gut, I think.
He watches the other cowboy shuffle nervously behind a rock.
You think he's gonna die? You think we killed him?
Will turns his steely gaze toward Ned. Ned looks up meekly.
Yeah. We killed him, I guess.
Below, Davy holds a bloody hand on his gut.
I'm dying, boys!
I think you shouldn't have cut up no woman, you asshole!
Davy, his blonde hair matted with sweat, swallows and grimaces.
Jesus, I'm so thirsty. Slim! Slim, give me some water, please. Please, Slim. I'm bleeding, Slim.
Crouching down in the cliff, Will watches the scene below.
Give me a drink of water, God damn it.
Give me a drink of water, would you, Slim?
Will you give him a drink of water, for Christ's sake? We ain't gonna shoot.
The bucktooth cowboy looks up.
You ain't gonna shoot?
No.
Slim holds his revolver.
Hold on, David boy. Here it come now.
Slim grabs his canteen. The other cowboys watch as he shuffles into the open toward Davy.
Don't you shoot me, you bastard!
Will, Ned, and the kid watch safely from their perch.
Shit.
Slim reaches the fallen cowboy, props up his head, and gives him a drink. He notices the growing stain in Davy's shirt.
Davy!
They take him water?
Yeah.
Jesus, Johnny, they shot him!
Davy, hold on now.
Up in the cliff, the kid squints, straining to see below. Beside him, Will frowns as he picks at the sandstone and flecks a pebble away.
You murdering bastard! You killed our Davy boy!
Will scowls as he picks at the rock. Ned stares distantly. Later, the three gunmen ride through open country.
When are we gonna double back?
After a ways.
Not me. I'm heading on back down to Kansas.
We gotta kill the other one first. Look, Ned.
With any luck, we'll find him by nightfall or in the morning. Then we can shoot him and head on back with the money.
Ned stops and pulls out his rifle.
You want the Spencer, Will?
This ain't no time to quit, Ned.
You know, you're gonna lose your share, Ned.
Shut up.
I'll see you, Will. So long, kid.
Ned!
Ned rides a few yards, then stops. Will follows and hands back the rifle.
Here. I ain't no good with that damn thing anyhow. Look, me and the kid will head over to that ranch, and when we find him, we'll shoot him. Then we'll meet up with you and pick up our money and all head south together.
I suppose he don't go back to the ranch, Will.
Well, he ain't gonna go into town. I figure he won't stay out in the open country. No, he'll hole up at that ranch.
Well, I ain't waiting. I'll look in on your younger when I get back.
He slips the rifle into a saddle holster and starts off.
Hey, Ned! Don't pay no attention to what the kid said about the money and all. I'll bring your share.
Ned and the kid fix their eyes on Will.
Kid's full of shit.
Ned pulls his reins and heads his brown, speckled horse away. Will watches him for a moment, then joins back up with the kid. Now, Charlie, the boyish-faced deputy, rides up to the sheriff's house.
Little Bill? Little Bill?
Wood shingles fall from the roof, and Little Bill crawls to the edge with a grin.
Just doing some repairs up here.
They killed one of them cowboys.
Beauchamp rounds the corner with a handful of shingles.
Shit.
Nighttime in town.
And Parsons said how he seen three men right after sunup headed out east, and one was on a dun, and another was on a flea-bitten gray. I mean, he didn't know what the third one was on. Could have been an Appaloosa, because he was looking right into the sun.
Bill, Amos says to ask you if the county's going to pay for feed for all the horses or not.
Witherspoon says he won't sell us no more 30-30 shells without we pay.
Hell, use my dogs. And the county's got to take responsibility.
That's right. Yeah, don't worry about them horses, Fatty. You just get on out there to the bar tea and make sure that other cowboy stays put and don't expose himself here, all right?
Fatty steps past the dozen or so other men gathered around Little Bill. Upstairs at Greeley's, Delilah and the other women watch the milling posse.
I didn't think they'd really do it.
Did you think they'd come clear up from Kansas to fuck us?
No, but that kid, he's just a boy, and the other one, Will, the nice one, being so true to his wife and all.
Wife? He ain't got no wife.
Oh, yes, he does.
I told you, he ain't got no wife. Not above ground, anyways.
Delilah looks up at the others. Suddenly, a brick smashes the window. Alice charges to the broken pane.
He had it coming! He had it coming for what he done! And the other one, too! Both of them for what they done!
In the street below, men with torches walk away, while the rest of the women gaze nervously at Alice. Later, a lone rider gallops up to the jailhouse posse.
Got one, Sheriff.
How about Cow Creek?
Is he alive?
Hell yeah. Bunch of us boys from Bar T went out looking on account of them killing one of our own. Come across this son of a bitch on a roll heading south.
Did he admit it?
No, but I guess he will soon enough. Had a Spencer rifle on him.
Those cowboys messing him up?
A little bit, I guess.
All right, try it, Andy. Get on out there. See if you can find out what happened to those other two fellas.
In the dark of night, the kid sneaks into tall scrub behind a wooden outhouse and waves his hand in front of his nose. Behind him, Will stands rigidly still, glaring. A man steps out of the outhouse and adjusts his pants as he walks to the nearby cabin. Inside, three rough-looking men play cards by lamplight.
Didn't you see anything out there, Buck?
Hell, yes, I did. Seen about 200 fellas packing rifles. Got the place surrounded. Said they won't quit Mike's ass. I said, how much? They says about $5. I said, dollars? They said, cents. I said, sold.
Well, I ain't worried. Because I got me some protection.
Quick Mike, the burly, bearded cowboy, glances over at Fatty, fast asleep on a cot. Later, a dozen horsemen ride through Big Whiskey's dark main street. As they approach the jailhouse, we glimpse Ned in the torchlight, riding with his hands tied behind his back. Deputies Clyde and Andy lead the posse to Little Bill and Beauchamp waiting on the porch.
Tell you where the mother's is?
Nope.
Give him any names?
Didn't tell us nothing but his own name. Ned Roundtree.
Andy tosses Ned's rifle to the sheriff.
Bring him in. So, Ned, you want to tell me and Mr. Beauchamp here all about your two villainous friends, I guess. Probably glad to hear the names and whereabouts of those murder son of bitches.
They lead Will inside. Morning. From the bushes behind the bar tea outhouse, Will and the kid watch another cowboy walk back to the cabin. Crouching with their guns, the men squint in the sunlight.
Sure is ripe.
Yeah. Gonna get a lot riper.
You think he's still in there?
Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah, well, he's holding on to his shit like it was money.
He's in there.
You tell me right off if you see him.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna shoot him yourself, are you?
You can shoot him.
They both turn and watch the cabin door. In the jail, Little Bill lashes Ned with his bullwhip. Beauchamp and the deputies flinch with each strike to Ned's bare, bloody back. In the street, men and horses stand motionless. On Greeley's porch, the women gaze at the jail. Alice holds her hand to her lips, and Delilah's large blue eyes well with tears. In the jail, Ned stands chained to the cell bars, his teeth clenched as the sheriff rolls up the leather whip.
Now, Ned, you and Mr. Quincy and, what's the young fellow's name?
Elroy Tate.
Beauchamp checks his riding pad. He shakes his head and shows it to Little Bill.
No, that's not what you said.
Hell if it ain't.
No, you said, Elroy Quincy out of Medicine Hat and Henry Tate out of Cheyenne.
Hell if I did. Hell if I did.
Charlie, go and get them whores what fucked these boys in the night of the storm.
Strawberry Alice and Silky.
Yeah, come on, get.
Little Bill strides up to Ned and rests his chin on Ned's bare, sweaty shoulder.
Now, Ned, them whores are going to tell different lies than you. And when their lies ain't the same as your lies, well, I ain't going to hurt no woman. But I'm going to hurt you. Not gentle like before. Bad.
Ned turns slightly to meet Little Bill's close stare. The sheriff nods coldly.
Okay.
In the bar tea cabin, Quick Mike stands up from a card game.
Where are you going?
Going out the shit house.
Let me finish this hand, will you?
Well, you gonna protect me while I take a dump?
Go and get bushwhacked.
Then we'll all fart on him.
I'll go with him.
Yeah, you can wipe my ass, thirsty.
Hell with him. Man ain't polite. He would have got shot.
Mike steps outside. The kid nods.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
They watch the cowboy lumber over to the outhouse.
All right, kid. Go get him. He's all yours.
The squinty-eyed kid gets up, leaving Will in the pucker brush with his double-barrel shotgun. The kid wears a dark vest over a tan checked shirt, with a matching kerchief knotted around his neck. His black felt cowboy hat has a domed crown and its brim rolled up on the sides. With his revolver cocked and ready, the kid sneaks to the front of the outhouse. In the cabin, Fatty tosses down his cards. Outside, the kid reaches for a latch, throws a door open, and takes aim at an empty stall. Fatty steps outside and spots him.
Assassins!
Will fires and shatters a window. The kid throws open the other stall door. Quick Mike's eyes fix on the kid's point-blank aim.
No. No, no!
The kid's hand trembles. Mike collapses with three bloody holes in his chest. Will fires again at the cabin.
Come on, goddammit!
The kid leaves the dead cowboy and races into the brush after Will. Fatty emerges from the cabin, his revolver drawn. Followed by the other four men, he peers into Quick Mike's stall, then hurries into the brush. Further ahead, Will loads his shotgun as they jog.
Did you get him?
Yeah.
They reach their horses waiting on the roadside. The kid mounts up quickly. Will slips one foot into his stirrup and stumbles. He hands the shotgun off to the kid.
Oh, oh. Cover me.
The cowboys gain on them.
I can't see him.
Just shoot, damn ya.
Fatty and the others clear the pucker brush. The kid fires wildly. The cowboys return fire. Will heaves into his saddle and the kid blasts again. The cowboys hold position and fire at the rapidly escaping gunmen. Our view tightens on Fatty's bearded face. He sighs heavily. Later, Will and the kid wait on a grassy hill outside Big Whiskey, watching a lone rider gallop toward them from town. The kid sits against a lone pine tree and knocks back a slug of whiskey.
Was that what it was like in the old days, Will? Everybody riding out, shooting. Smoke all over the place, folks yelling, bullets whizzing by.
I guess so.
The kid takes another shot. Will watches the rider.
Shit. I thought they was gonna get us. I was even scared a little. Just for a minute. Was you ever scared in them days?
I can't remember. I was drunk most of the time.
He scans the distant town while the kid takes another drink.
I shot that fucker three times. He's taking a shit and he went for his pistol and I blazed away. First shot. I got him right in the chest.
The rider bounds up the final knoll.
Say, Will.
Yeah?
That was the first one.
First one what?
First one I ever killed.
Yeah?
You know how I said I shot five men? It weren't true. That Mexican had come at me with a knife. I just busted his leg with a shovel. I didn't kill him enough to need it.
Well, you sure killed the hell out of that fella today.
Hell yeah. I killed the hell out of him, didn't I? Three shots and he was taking a shit.
He squeezes his eyes shut and bows his head. Will lowers his unflinching gaze.
Take a drink, kid.
The kid studies Will's weather-beaten face, leathery with deep wrinkles and fresh scars. He gulps another mouthful of whiskey. Will watches the rider draw near, her black skirt flowing in the breeze. Behind her, grassy countryside rolls beyond Big Whiskey's cluster of buildings to rigid mountain peaks.
It don't seem real. I ain't gonna never breathe again, ever. I was dead. And the other one, too. All on account of pulling a trigger.
It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna have.
Yeah. Well, I guess they had it coming.
He takes a swig. Will maintains his standing watch as clouds darken the vast sky above.
We all have it coming, kid.
The kid cocks his head and stares at Will through tear-filled eyes. He stays seated against the gnarly gray pine tree as little Sue finally reaches them. She stops her horse in front of Will.
I was watching you, seeing as you weren't followed.
Silky and Faith, they rode off to the east and two deputies was following them.
She hands him a leather-handled cloth bag and Will kneels down beside the kid.
Here.
Want to help me count this stuff, kid?
I trust you will.
Well, don't go trusting me too much. In fact, we'll give Ned his share together. That way you'll know I ain't holding out on you.
Ned's share?
Yeah. He went south. We'll catch up to him.
Ned, he's dead.
The gunmen rise to their feet.
What do you mean he's dead? He went south yesterday. He ain't dead.
They killed him. I thought you knew that.
Nobody killed Ned. He didn't kill anyone. He went south yesterday. Why would anybody kill Ned?
Little Sue looks away, her lips quivering.
Who killed him?
Little Bill. The Bar T boys caught him, and Little Bill, he beat him up. He was making him answer questions and beating him up, and then Ned just died. They got a sign on him, says he was a killer.
They got a sign on him?
In front of Greeley's.
A sign on him in front of Greeley's.
She nods. Will's violet scars flare as his scowl tightens.
These questions Little Bill was asking. What kind were they?
About where you and him was.
Then what?
A cowboy come in saying he killed Quick Mike in the shithouse at the Bar T.
So Little Bill killed him for what we done?
Not on purpose. But he started hurting him worse, making him tell stuff. First Ned wouldn't say nothing. And then Little Bill hurt him so bad, he said who you was.
Will grabs the bottle and drinks.
He said how you was really William Money out of Missouri. And Little Bill said the same William Money that dynamited the Rock Island and Pacific in 69, killing women and children and all. And Ned said he done a lot worse than that. Said he was more cold-blooded than William Bonney. And how if he hurt Ned again, he was gonna come kill him. Like he killed a U.S. Marshal in 70.
The kid's eyes flash open. He watches Will finish another long drink.
That didn't scare Little Bill, did it?
No, sir.
Will stares for a moment, then corks the whiskey bottle. He tosses it to the grass, then turns to the kid.
Give me your Schofield.
What for, Will?
Give it to me.
Yeah, sure.
The kid hands over his revolver, and Will checks the cylinder for bullets.
You go on, keep it. I'm never going to use it again. I don't kill nobody no more.
Will looks up and meets the kid's wary gaze.
I ain't like you, Will.
Will nods slightly and turns to Little Sue.
You better ride on back, miss.
She takes up her reins. The kid points to the money bag.
Go on, keep it. All of it. It's yours.
What about the spectacles and the fancy clothes?
I guess I'd rather be blind and ragged than dead.
You don't have to worry, kid. I ain't gonna kill you. You're the only friend I got.
Night. Will and the kid stop at the edge of town.
Here. Take this money and give my half and Ned's half to my kids. Tell them if I ain't back in a week, they give half to Sally Two Trees. You keep the rest. You can get them spectacles now.
You're gonna kill Little Bill, ain't you?
You stay clear of folks you see. Be a lot of them out to hang you. Get going.
The kid nods, turns his horse around, and disappears into the darkness. Will turns his horse toward town and rides slowly through the rain. Below Will's horse, an empty whiskey bottle lands in a mud puddle. Our view slowly rises up the rain-splattered street. In the shadowy distance, firelight flickers outside of Greeley's. Will reaches the saloon porch where a pair of torches flank an open coffin leaning against the wall. Through the driving rain, we view Ned's motionless body in the plain wooden box. Tacked across the coffin, a plank of wood bears a handwritten warning. This is what happens to assassins around here. Inside, Little Bill addresses his deputies and several other men. The women listen from the stairs.
And those of you who rode yesterday, you get one drink for that, too. All right, hold it. Now, that's two. But after that, it comes out of your own pocket. You hear me, Skinny?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're pulling out early in the morning. We're going to chase these fellas clear down to Texas, so yeah. Don't spend too much of your own money, right?
Someone raises a shotgun.
We're going to divide up into four parties. And we'll hit all the farms and the trails to make a big circle. And we're bound to come across somebody that's seen these skunks.
Will stands before them with a hard-jawed frown. All eyes fix on the lone figure standing with his back to the door. Will slowly levels his double-barrel shotgun and shifts his eyes across the men in the room.
Who's the fella who owns this shithole?
On the stairs, Alice grips little Sue's arm. Below, Will points his shotgun at the portly deputy.
You fat man. Speak up.
Fatty quivers and Skinny steps forward.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
A man steps away from Skinny.
Just hold it right there. Hold it!
Will fires and Skinny flails back onto the floor. Will cocks the second chamber and aims at Little Bill.
Well, sir, you are a cowardly son of a bitch. You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
You'd be William Money out of Missouri. Kill women and children.
That's right.
Beauchamp leans forward.
I've killed women and children. Killed just about everything that walks or crawled at one time or another. And I'm here to kill you, Little Bill. What you did to Ned.
Will holds steady aim at Little Bill's chest and Beauchamp cracks a grin.
Boys better move away.
Four men standing beside Little Bill shuffle to the side. The sheriff takes a few steps forward, closing the distance between himself and Will's shotgun.
All right, gentlemen. He's got one barrel left. When he fires that, take out your pistols and shoot him down like the mangy scoundrel he is.
With a defiant scowl, Little Bill stops 3 feet in front of Will. The wide-eyed deputy stands stiff and watch. Will pulls the trigger, and the hammer falls. Little Bill flinches. Will's eyes grow wide.
Misfire! Kill us, bitch!
Little Bill draws his revolver, and Will chops the faulty gun at his head. The sheriff pushes it away and shoots. Will ducks, returns fire, and Little Bill falls in a cloud of smoke. In a hail of bullets, Will calmly turns left, blasts one-armed Clyde, then turns right and picks off Deputy Andy. Charlie bolts for the back door and Fatty follows him past Beauchamp. A bloody hole rips through Fatty's wide chest and he falls, shot in the back. Little Sue trembles on the staircase, while the remaining men cower on the floor. Will strides over and waves his revolver.
Any man don't want to get killed. Better clear on out the back.
One cowboy glances at the other patrons, then stands up. Upstairs, Little Sue hurries into a room. The other men follow the cowboy's lead, gingerly stepping around Skinny's body and jog out the back door. Left alone, Will glances at the body sprawled on the floor and steps up to the bar. Setting down his revolver, he pulls the cork from a bottle of whiskey and pours a drink. He raises the glass to his lips and tastes. Will leans back for a long sip, then whips his head to the left. Lying face down, Fatty's arm moves. Beauchamp, hidden underneath, rolls the fat man over and discovers his own blood-soaked shirt.
Oh, God. I'm shot! I've been shot!
You ain't shot.
Beauchamp looks up and waves his hands.
Look, please. I don't have a gun. I am not armed.
Will motions with his revolver.
Pick up that rifle. Pick it up. Shells, too.
Beauchamp takes a rifle and shells from a table and hands them to Will. Pushing his hat back, the disheveled rider stares down at the carnage.
God. You killed Little Bill.
Sure you ain't armed?
No, look. I'm not. I don't have a gun. I've never had a gun. I'm a writer.
Writer?
Yeah. letters and such?
No, books.
Books. Well, Livy, you killed five men. Single-handed.
Yeah.
Will calmly reloads the rifle.
That's a Spencer rifle, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Beauchamp shoulders his monogrammed leather bag, then stares at Will through his wire-rimmed glasses.
Who'd you kill first?
Beauchamp wipes his brow.
When confronted by superior numbers, an experienced gunfighter will always fire on the best shot first.
Is that so?
Yeah, Little Bill told me that. You probably killed him first, didn't you?
I was lucky in the order. But I've always been lucky when it comes to killing folks.
And so, who was next? It was Clyde, right? He must have killed Clyde. Well, it could have been Deputy Andy, wasn't he?
All I can tell you is who's going to be last.
He levels the rifle. Beauchamp stammers, then steps briskly to the front door and outside. Will turns back to the bar, the brim of his hat casting shadows down his taut, grizzled face. On the ground, Little Bill lies on his back, holding his stomach wound, and watches Will suck down two more shots of whiskey. The sheriff raises his right hand and cocks his revolver. Will swiftly kicks Little Bill's hand out of the way. He aims the rifle at Little Bill's chest.
I don't deserve this. To die like this. I was building a house.
Deserves got nothing to do with it.
I'll see you in hell, William Money.
Will cocks the gun. Dark eyes unflinching, Will raises the rifle to his chin. Little Bill swallows as the end of the rifle barrel hovers inches from his face. He returns Will's stare. On the floor, Clyde unholsters his pistol. Will strides over and aims point blank at the deputy's gut. Clyde rolls over dead. Will moves to the front door. Kneeling, he opens it and cocks his rifle.
All right, I'm coming out. Any man I see out there, I'm gonna kill him. Any some bitch takes a shot at me, not only gonna kill him, I'm gonna kill his wife, all his friends, burn his damn house down.
Squinting through the downpour, he stands and steps onto the porch.
Nobody better shoot.
Flickering torchlight illuminates the gashes on Will's stubble, leathery face. With an empty, haunted stare, he regards his dead partner, propped up in the open coffin. Trickles of blood stain Ned's dark shirt. Two men watch Will from an alley.
Hey, Charlie Hecker, go ahead, shoot him!
Charlie's gold deputy star hangs from his rain-soaked shirt. He glances at the German patron, then raises his rifle. Across the street, Will strides through the rain. Charlie lowers his gun, and the German waves it off.
Here.
I don't know. I ain't no deputy.
Beauchamp squeezes between the two men. Squinting, he removes his rain-streaked glasses, steps into the muddy street, and watches Will mount his old gray horse. Will grips the reins in one hand and the rifle in the other. He stops in front of Greeley's and scans the darkness.
Better bury Ned right. Better not cut up, no, otherwise harm no whore.
Delilah and Alice step into the torchlight.
Or I'll come back and kill every one of you sons of bitches.
Rain batters the brim of Will's hat as he watches the advancing women with a steely, narrow-eyed glare. Delilah, her blonde hair pulled back from her scarred face, watches mournfully as Will turns his horse. Alice clutches her shawl to her chest as she and the other women step further into the street. Will continues away from the saloon, past Beauchamp, who slinks back into the shadows. A faint smile brightens Delilah's rain-streaked face as Will rides past the last building in town. Beauchamp, Charlie, and the German stagger back into the muddy street. Charlie holds his rifle awkwardly pointed at the ground as they watch Will disappear into the darkness. Beauchamp removes his glasses and wipes his eyes, straining to see through the rain. Now we view Money Farm, silhouetted against a sunset sky, streaked with dark purple and fiery orange. Clothes flutter restlessly on a line strung outside the house. A lone figure strides to a leafless tree, stands before the headstone, and reverently removes his hat. Words appear. Some years later, Mrs. Ansonia Feathers made the arduous journey to Hodgman County to visit the last resting place of her only daughter. William Money had long since disappeared with the children, some said to San Francisco, where it was rumored he prospered in dry goods. And there was nothing on the marker to explain to Mrs. Feathers why her only daughter had married a known thief and murderer, a man of notoriously vicious and intemperate disposition. The clothes on the line and the man fade away, leaving the house, the tree, and the grave. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston, with funding provided by Gordon and Laura Gund. Described by Samantha Manahan and Brian Gould. Read by Nick Mills. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Credits appear. Directed and produced by Clint Eastwood. Written by David Webb Peoples. Executive producer David Valdez. Director of photography Jack N. Green. Production designed by Henry Bumstead. Edited by Joel Cox. Music score by Lenny Nyhaus. Associate producer Julian Ludwig. Cast of characters, Clint Eastwood as William Money, Gene Hackman as Little Bill Daggett, Morgan Freeman as Ned Logan, and Richard Harris as English Bob. More cast. James Wolvet as the Schofield Kid, Saul Rubinek as W.W. Beauchamp, Francis Fisher as Strawberry Alice, Anna Thompson as Delilah Fitzgerald. Credits roll. Production manager Bob Gray, first assistant director Scott Maitland, second assistant director Bill Bannerman, third assistant directors Grant Lucibello and Tom Rooker. Casting by Phyllis Huffman. Canadian casting Stuart Akins. Art directors Rick Roberts and Adrian Gorton. Set designer James J. Murakami. Set decorator Janice Blackie Goodine. Script supervisor Lloyd Nelson. Assistant film editor Michael Cipriano. Supervising sound editors Alan Robert Murray, Walter Newman. Music editor Donald Harris. Supervising dialogue editor Karen Spangenberg. Sound editors Neil Burrow, Gordon Davidson, Marshall Wynn, Butch Wolf, and Cindy Marty. Sound mixer Rob Young. Boom operator Kelly Zombor. Scoring mixer Bobby Fernandez. Technical consultant Buddy Van Horn. A camera operator Stephen St. John. B camera operator Roger Vernon. Still photographer Bob Akester. Wardrobe department head Glenn Wright. Head makeup artist Mike Hancock. Head hairstylist Ilo Flewelling. Chief Lighting Technician Tom Stern, Special Effects Coordinator John Frazier, Special Effects Foreman Maurice Routley, Unit Manager Lynn Besflug, Head Wrangler John Scott, Wrangler Bosses Tom Bues, Tom Glass, and Tom Erickson. Titles and Opticals by Pacific Title. Sonora Unit Production Manager David Valdez, Second Assistant Director Jeffrey Wetzel, Knives designed by J.P. Moss. Remaining cast of characters, David Mucci as Quick Mike, Rob Campbell as Davy Bunting, Anthony James as Skinny Du Bois, Tara Dawn Frederick as Little Sue, Beverly Elliott as Silky, Lisa Repo Martell as Faith, Josie Smith as Crow Creek Kate, Shane Meyer as Will Money, Elaine Levasseur as Penny Money, Sherilyn Cardinal as Sally Two Trees, Robert Coons as Crocker, Ron White as Clyde Ledbetter, Mina E. Mina as Muddy Chandler, Henry Cope as German Joe Schultz, Jeremy Ratchford as Deputy Andy Russell, John Piper Ferguson as Charlie Hecker, Jefferson Mappin as Fatty Rossiter, Walter March as The Barber, Garner Butler as Eggs Anderson, Larry Reese as Tom Luckinbill, Blair Haynes as Patty McGee, Frank C. Turner as Fuzzy, Sam Karras as Thirsty Thurston, Lachlan Monroe as Texas Slim, Ben Cardinal as Johnny Foley, Philip Hayes as Lippy McGregor, Michael Cherois as Wiggins, Bill Davidson as Buck Barthol, Paul McLean as Train Person Number 1, James Herman as Train Person Number 2, Michael Maurer as Train Person Number 3, Larry Joshua as Bucky, George Orison as The Shadow, and Gregory Goosen as The Fighter. Color by Technicolor, filmed in Panavision, Dolby Stereo. The producers gratefully acknowledge the invaluable help and cooperation of Bill Marsden, Film Commissioner of Alberta, Murray Ord, IATSA 312, and the citizens of Brooks, Drumheller, High River, and Longview, Alberta, for their support and friendship during the production of this film. Motion Picture Association of America, number 31757, copyright 1992, Warner Brothers, Incorporated. This story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. The animals used in this film were in no way harmed or mistreated, and all scenes in which they appeared were under strict supervision with the utmost concern for their handling. Dedicated to Sergio and Don. Distributed by Warner Brothers, a Time Warner company.